I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello? Hello?
Podcast Network Asia. Network Asia.
I would tell myself as a kid, so always aim for the stars. Aim for the stars, you fall on the sky. Because if you aim for the sky, you fall on the ground. So that's how I always approach everything. So always aim high. And then after that, it's really having a great support system. In terms of investors, you need to have people who believe in you behind your back. So it's not just about the money. It's really about having the right people behind you to support you for your growth.
And good evening, good afternoon, good morning from wherever you're listening, from all over the Philippines and from all over the world. My name is RJ Ledesma and welcome to my podcast, the RJ Ledesma Podcast. In my podcast, I interview the country's pioneering business personalities and entrepreneurs to learn more about how they think about doing business. What are their success secrets? Can we replicate those success secrets? How have they innovated their businesses during this pandemic? But more importantly, what opportunities do they see emerging in this now normal? Is there a business personality or entrepreneur that you would like me to interview here on the podcast? Drop me a message. I would love to have them here on the show. I would love to pick their brains. Just tell me whenever you're free. We're also live right now on Kumu, CBRC TV, Global Pinas TV, and the Bounce Back Network. Now, if you've been enjoying my podcast and you are learning a lot from it, please do me a favor. Please subscribe and invite more friends to listen to the RJ Ledesma podcast. And you can also catch us on YouTube. Now, before we begin with our podcast, here's a quick shout out to my friends at Vessel. Vessel PH can help you future-proof your business by boosting your digital presence and making sure that you can attract more customers and more sales. If you want to learn more about them, just click on the description. Now, on this rainy Tuesday evening, I'm very happy to have my next guest. He is a fellow personality in the real estate industry. We both grew up in the real estate industry, and it's something very close to our hearts. And I particularly like talking to him because he has found a, like any entrepreneur, you want to find out a pain point or an underserved opportunity where you can disrupt or where you can change how the game is being played. And that's exactly what he's doing with this new app called Matchmo. Now, Matchmo is an online mortgage broker that helps clients with their home loans in the easiest way possible. Our guest tonight is Kevin Carrion, who is the CEO of Matchmo, and he's had over 30 years of combined experience in both the fields of real estate development and banking. And his team aims to empower Filipinos in taking control of their home investments. What he does is, you know, it sounds easy. He matches clients with the best banks where people can get the best loans, save time, time preparing and submitting documents and get the best possible rates for their monthly amortizations. It sounds easy, but like they usually say, you know, the devil is in the details. Now, before working with Matchmo in April 2021, he's had various experience. He was in the telecom industry. He worked for PLDT. He worked for Citibank. And for the past 9 years, he was also working as an executive for a real estate development company. So happy to have a fellow real estate development person here on the show. Please welcome here right now, Mr. Kevin Carrion. Kevin, welcome to the show.
RJ, great to be here. So thank you for having me as well.
Yeah, great to finally have you here on the show. And before everything else, let's just flash on the screen right now, Clark, where people can check out Matchmo. And let's just leave it there on the screen. So as Kevin continues to describe what the business is, people can start checking it out on the site here right now. So Kevin, let's get straight into the heart of it. No? Many entrepreneurs are here on the show. Many people who want to pitch their businesses to investors. From what I understand, you are in a stage of sort of like a pre-seed, right? Which means that people right now are interested to put some sort of like angel money into Matchmo. Yep. Is that right?
That's correct. So basically, I started the business sometime mid last year, around second quarter of last year. And I just wanted to bootstrap it initially and got a couple of friends to help me out with this. So initially, what we wanted to do was to gain traction at first. So how this started was, I noticed, if I may, RJ, already jump.
So before we get into that in just a bit. No, I like it. I love it where the momentum is coming. But then just a couple of things to get out of the way over here, no, is when you say pre-seed, or you know, what exactly do you mean for the people who are listening, I guess, for the first time? Ano bang ibig sabihin ng pre-seed when you're looking for investments?
All right. So initially, it's for us to start developing the product further to jumpstart operations. So right now we're just about to close our pre-seed round, and yeah, it's really just helping develop the product to the next stage. So initially we've had a couple of people within the team, and now we're just at the point where it's just ripe for us to scale it already. So we've signed up more and more partners already. So it's just the perfect time to get to be able to close this round.
Well, when you look at pre-seed, well, that's if you don't mind, like that's more or less, what's the range of the amount that you have to, I guess, raise for a pre-seed round?
Right now, from my understanding within the startup community, a seed round would go from $1 million or more. So a pre-seed would be in the range of something a bit less than that.
Okay. And when you're looking at that one, just as a question, because like I said, there are many young entrepreneurs or even mature entrepreneurs listening. Who do you approach? Is it friends, families, and loved ones or former colleagues? How did you sort of create the profile or create the initial investors? How did you vet them and source them to be part of Matchmo?
All right. So initially, when I started this, I did some sort of mini angel round with a couple of friends of mine who I pitched to, because they know that my expertise has always been in the real estate scene and the banking scene as well. So really just getting the first initial set of people who really believes in you is really the key to growing the business. Then after that, you go to a couple of groups who sees the value in helping you grow. So really it really starts within your inner circle first.
Okay. And then lastly, you know, you talked about bootstrapping, and for people who might be familiar with bootstrapping, it basically means you're taking the money out of your own pocket to finance this one. You know, one of the most challenging and can be the most terrifying thing about this one is that the money's coming out of your own pocket. How was it like for you when you're taking the money out of your own pocket? Up to now, are you still bootstrapping? Are you still putting some money out from your own pocket, or is it right now all the money coming from the pre-seed round?
Well, it's still a mix of both. Really, it was really scary at first. I mean, just to start all over again, to bootstrap this new company, you really have to be prepared. Probably I've heard a couple of companies doing 6 months, 1 year, prepared to be earning nothing. So really it's preparing that mindset. Okay, expect to just, your focus should be on growing the business. Don't think about money first for now. Because if you're able to grow the value of the business, I truly believe that everything else follows after that.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I got that. Now, let's step back a bit more, no? and let's talk about Matchmo and you had to make that pitch to, let's say, you know, your close family and friends, to some people who were familiar with you. What is that investment pitch that you made them? What is that big idea that you pitched to them about Matchmo? Can you share that with us right now?
Okay, so I've gone through two sets of fundraising in a way. So the first one was a couple of friends. We were hanging out, and then I said, okay, I think there's a huge market for this. I did some research and saw that in terms of loans here in the country, there's about hundreds of billions of pesos worth of loans, real estate loans specifically, being coursed through the banking system. So no one is really taking care of that segment. So I told them that I think we can monetize this. Well, I mean, to make a business out of this. I mean, this is something I've been doing personally. I mean, I've been in the real estate industry for the longest time. And when I help out clients, sometimes banks do give certain incentives for the certain volume that I provide them. So I thought that maybe we can monetize this, offer this to the public overall. So, and then after that, we were able to gain some traction. So believe it or not, when I started this last year, I had one to two people under me, and we've gotten, during our first 2 months, we've gotten hundreds of millions worth of inquiries already of loans that we were processing. I had just about less than five people under my team. So, and then it just blew from there. So, and then after that, we grew. It wasn't, how do I say this? The journey wasn't just about just how do we monetize this, but it developed into something more. You know, I noticed there were a lot of Filipinos who wanted to have their own homes. So they had difficulty getting their loans approved, especially OFWs. So I've gotten some notes from clients that we were able to help out. They were really thankful that they had someone who was helping them process their home loan applications for them. So there. And then after that, it just grew from there.
Okay. So how would you describe what Matchmo is to the layman, to the somebody who isn't from the industry, who isn't an angel investor?
Yep.
How do you explain to them, how does Matchmo work for them?
So Matchmo is a one-stop shop home loan platform. So we basically partnered up with 15 of the biggest banks and financial institutions in the country. And then we profile you as the home buyer or the one who wants to get a loan. And then we match you with the bank with the highest probability of getting your loan approved. So it's as simple as that.
Okay. And basically, when you came up with this one, this was just, it's barely a year old, and you were able to bring 15 banks on board, which I find pretty impressive. That must have been a lot of legwork for you to go to all the different banks. That's my assumption, of course.
Yep. Yeah, it was. But I guess it helped that I was a previous banker. So I just called up a couple of ex-banker friends. I mean,
The ecosystem was still in place, in other words.
Yep. So I started with Citibank. So most of us, Citibank was a great training ground. So most of us would transfer to different banks. So I just called up a couple of friends and helped me out with setting this up.
Oh, fantastic. It's great to hear that, you know, that's, I think that's one of the key things that the people say, that, you know, your network is your net worth. And that's really what came out for you.
That's true.
When you were able to quickly build this one over here. Just go into the chat box. And I mean, more about to say, oh, you've got Paulo Vergara saying, proud of you, Kev. And maraming mo about na here, oh, maraming ka fans. Rudelin Pontilias Frias, hello, Sir Kev. And CJ Lubugan, hi, Sir Kevin. I like that the whole office is here right now listening to us and joining us for this discussion.
Yep.
Now let me right now that we understand a bit more of how, you know, how it came about, let's really go, I want to delve a bit deeper now into your background and how your background helped inform the creation of the app. Right? Because basically we often say that, you know, an irritation leads to an inspiration, which is basically how many entrepreneurs think, like, or you turn pain points into business opportunities. The other day, you were telling me the whole story, and I said, let's save it for us here right now. But help inform me how both your background coming from, I guess, from the banking sector and then working in the real estate sector informed how you formulated the idea for Matchmo.
So actually, the idea of mortgage brokerage is not new. Well, this is quite popular in the U.S. So I studied in the U.S. myself. Part-time back in my college days. So I was quite familiar with how the system works. And actually in the US, a huge portion of the market, of the real estate market, goes through some sort of mortgage brokerage. I was just dumbfounded to realize that all along, there has been no mortgage brokerage here in the country. So with my background in the banking industry, I noticed how, well, I learned, I was able to learn how banks would profile or qualify buyers who wanted to get a loan in general. And then after that, my experience in the real estate industry, I was able to understand the pain points or the difficulties of home loan buyers, how difficult it was for them to process loans. So basically, I was fortunate enough that I had both experience, both in the bank and in the real estate industry, to combine those experiences. I mean, personally, I've bought properties from some of the top developers, and no one has ever really processed how helped me process with any of my loans. So yeah, I guess that's about it. I was able to formulate the idea, and then I just wanted to make it easier for everyone to get that home loan processed approved. I mean, at the end, every Filipino's dream is to have their own home. So I hope I'll be able to help more.
Yeah, so I understand the first idea. The pain point that you saw was that you saw from both sides that banks want to loan, but you figured out who and who they don't loan to. In other words, you kind of got you hacked that one. You understood that one.
Yep.
The other hack that you understand is that, okay, I know the type of people who want to be able to borrow from the banks. And you, in your head, you sort of said, people do that matching. Banks do that matching almost manually.
Yep.
So that was sort of like the irritation that you had, right? Yep. And that was something that was what we would call ripe for disruption. So how did you solve that? I mean, you had the idea, but what was next after you had the idea of saying, okay, I can see the gap and I can see where I can disrupt, but what is that innovation that I can create? What value added did you bring over there?
Okay, so it was funny because I didn't have any idea how to exactly match those two ideas. So I went on my computer. I just tried to create my own algorithm in a way. This is basically the knowledge that I've gotten from working in the banking industry. So this is what the banks want. This is the buyer's home profile. So basically what I was able to create was the home buyer puts in their profile. And then based on their profile, we get a bank that matches the profile that they want from a buyer. So that's how I was able to formulate it. So when we were starting this, we didn't have any website. We had we didn't have a website. We just had a Facebook page, and I had my two people going around Facebook, like asking around for help. I mean, asking around for people who wanted to get a loan, who needed help. And lo and behold, there was a huge ton of people who needed to get their loans processed. So I had that one person collecting data from other people, their inquiries. And then the other person going into Excel using my formula to see if there's a match for this specific buyer. And we were able to refine that formula over the next few months. And then we were able to start the website eventually.
So that was sort of like your beta testing, right? The first part was your beta testing.
Yeah.
It was a very manual process, I guess, you know, when you're doing that at the start. You hired, I mean, this is an amazing story for me as an entrepreneur, because basically it's you just saying, here's my Excel formula, there's the algorithm, it works, let me hire two people to test whether or not there would be a market for this, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then when you got, so when you started getting those people coming in and you testing the formula, what was the next thing that you had to do from there? I mean, now you had to talk, obviously now you got to talk to the banks, right?
Yep.
What is your next step from there when you had to after you had to, you know, you had a pool of clients, potential clients? What did you do from there? How did you go to the banks and start offering, hey, this guy looks okay? How do you start middlemaning?
Well, it's actually something I've been doing for the past 9 years with the banks, being in the real estate industry. So it was fairly easy. So I just submitted their applications. I told them I'm almost 100% sure that this client is going to pass based on the profile of the clients that you told me that you want. So it's not just a simple, okay, this is the profile. So it goes through the client has to go through a very rigorous process rigorous in a way through the back end. But in reality, we've sped up the whole process within 3 minutes But once the clients were in, it was as simple as for us assisting the client, submitting their documents, automating everything, having everything done online. And it's as simple as that. We were able to forward it to the banks and process their loans from there.
Okay. So what I'm thinking right now is that when you were still in your real estate development company, you still had to help clients in a way process their loans with the bank, right? Yep. So you knew exactly that process. So you knew you would vet. I understand it. So basically you try to compile all the documents, either what the bank needs or what Pag-ibig needs, and you go, okay, if there are certain documents that are not appropriate, you can already tell right now who gets rejected by the bank and who gets passes from the bank, right?
Yep.
So you sort of just said to the bank when you went there, hey, we've already established a previous relationship. Let me test this one. Let me test if these clients will pass you. Is that sort of what you did?
No, actually, it was still a bit manual during my with the other company, but I was able to automate it just when I started this company and really focus on this.
Yeah. So I mean to say, you were able to, what you've learned from the real estate from your real estate company was that sort of connection that you made with the previous banks that you went to, that's why you were able to access them again when you came with these new clients that you got from your initial match mo.
Yeah, both. Well, it's really a mix of my network there and my network as a banker.
Okay, fantastic. That's what, you know, I often tell people that you don't lose anything if you worked in other industries. You actually take what you've learned from there and you're able to reapply them in your new business, right?
Yeah.
Or in whatever field that you take. Now, it must have been quite, when you first got into it and it started working out, what was the next step that you did when you said, okay, that's where you bootstrap, right? You spent your own money.
Yep.
And then for the first two employees that you got, you spent your own money and you were going about this one. How was it like for you, the process? I mean, that must have been exhilarating, but scary at the same time, because you are spending your own money and you weren't sure if it was going to work.
I guess it's all about managing risk. I guess I can say I'm a finance guy, so creating buffers, making sure we're able to hit our targets properly. It gave me more comfort in terms of the numbers. So for instance, I had to prepare a specific amount of runway to make sure, okay, I need to be able to cut losses if it does not work within X number of months. But we were able to make it work. So I just started growing it from there.
Okay. So how was the scale up from there? This is the part I'm curious about right now. From two employees to where you went, what did you do next? What did you do next after your Facebook page phase, right? And then the two employees started working out. At that point, you were saying, hey, this looks like it's going to work. What was your next step? Did you say, okay, let me invest somewhere? Let me go to an angel investor. Did you say, okay, it's time to quit my, I guess you belong to a family real estate development business. Like many of us who get into real estate at the start, family, and diba? Did you have to say, dad or whatever, dito muna ako. what is the process? What is the next process from there?
Yeah, well, I guess I was fortunate that my family was able to let me step aside out of the family business and be able to, and allowed me to focus on this. I mean, really, It was really 50-50 at first, but then I noticed I was able to, there was some traction, and that feeling of being able to help more and more people through the platform just enforced my idea further. Okay, I really have to do this full time. So that's what I did. And then after that, as part of scaling, I did approach a couple of friends who believed in me and then was able to help me out in terms of the funding. So yeah, that's how we were able to grow it.
Wow, and you grew it pretty fast. Just give me an idea right now. How quickly were you able to onboard the 15 banks? Because that's a great part I'm a marketing guy, so minus that's a great credibility builder or reason to believe you because you've got 15 banks behind you.
Yep.
How quickly were you able to get the 15 banks on board? And tell me also about the client growth. How fast were you able to acquire your clients, and just how what's the portfolio right now that you've covered so with Matchmo?
Okay, in terms of the bank, we were able to secure them within a month or so in terms of getting everyone together. I mean, I basically had all the connections that I needed. I had a very lengthy relationships with most banks already, and other banks actually started to pick up on what we were doing already, and they were actually the ones who were approaching us. In terms of client growth, it's quite sizable. Just to give a ballpark figure, in terms of loans that we're processing right now, it's really by the billions already of pesos that's still being processed. I mean, loans we're still trying to process within the platform. So it just shows you how big of a market this could really be.
And having said all that, no, and you said that you were expecting maybe six years to 1 month. In any startup business, you're not expecting yourself to make some money, right? You're actually burning because you're trying to build traction for the app. Can I ask in that regard, what is the business model that you guys are looking at? Is it sort of like on a commission basis for every successful loan? Is it a subscription model? Tell us a bit more about how do you expect Matchmo to make money?
So the great thing about Matchmo is we offer this service for free to our home buyers. I mean, home buyers who do want to get a loan. For us, we do get an incentive from the banks, but regardless if you do go straight to the bank or go through the platform, interest rates still stay the same.
Okay, but then how do you make money? How does Matchmo make money?
That's it. We get incentives from the banks. We get
incentives.
We get some sort of commission from the banks.
Okay, so using the marketing mindset, yep. I would use the word commission.
Yep.
So it's the bank that gives you the commission, and not there's no success fee that the buyer has to pay for you. Nope. if the transaction works.
None at all. Yep.
So I guess it's really volume, which is the key driver for the business. The more accounts that you bring in.
Yeah, exactly. I think it really has to reach a certain economies of scale before it makes sense. Otherwise, if you were doing this one account at a time, it just doesn't make sense in terms of time and effort being put in.
That's right. I'm just going to go back to the chat box. I've got a comment from my good friend, actually, really great guy when it comes to digital and online sales. His name's Gabriel Alaan. Sir, you're doing a great job. Through one kita to create an automated sales funnel for free. It will increase your conversion by 10x versus a website. He works together with a good friend of mine, Feeble Lim. So good person to look up. I can hook you guys up later on. Thanks,
right,
thanks, Gab, for listening. Thanks for listening to the show. And specialty is real estate, by the way. So the other one over here is from Raquel Arellano Mendoza saying, Matchmo the best. Wow, you've got a lot of people commenting over here. So everything's in place here right now. So I just want to know, what are you planning for the next? And we did encounter each other in a real estate event. So I can see where you're basically taking things. But where do you see the company, at least in the next year or so? What do you plan to do to grow the business now?
Okay, so initially when we started this, we were just focusing on retail accounts, like buyers who wanted to purchase properties from another individual or so. But we noticed that our turnaround time with that profile just took a little bit longer than expected. So we had to shift our efforts. So I guess part of the learning, growing the business, is trying to understand, trying to improve your data, your analytics, your numbers in terms of turnover, in terms of speed to market. So we noticed that there were a lot of home buyers being left unassisted by developers in a way. It's not that it was intentional, but it's just that the volume of accounts that they're handling, it's just too much for some developers already. So, and same goes for some agents, some real estate brokers. So the customer journey that you have to understand is, personally, if I bought a property from a real estate developer, from an agent or a broker, you usually have these people selling properties for you. You put in a down payment. So for the next 2 years, you pay that 20% down payment. So by the time the 2 years is done, most likely that agent or that broker would have transferred to a different company already. So usually as a buyer, it's going to be difficult for me to understand, okay, now who's going to help me? So that's where we wanted to come in. So with the shift within the next 6 months to 1 year, really our focus is more partnerships with real estate developers for us to be able to help their home buyers get their loan approved in a faster and more efficient way. Actually, it's not just getting their loan approved, but getting the best rates for them as well. So really more partnerships that we're looking into. Actually, we've signed several real estate developers already. So hopefully we'll be able to announce them within the next 2-3 months maybe.
So basically the idea is that again, for people who might not be familiar with real estate, no, there's either selling secondary projects, meaning projects which are already, you know, fully built home, somebody owns it and they want to resell that home. And there's what you call project selling. And project selling is really selling houses directly from the developer for first homes, right? Yeah. And most of your projects are for first, are more for first home buyers versus second home buyers. Is that right?
Yep. That's correct.
Can you help us better appreciate the value added of the app? Like you said, it does decrease the processing time, and it also decreases the interest rate on the loan, right? Or even the down payment or the amount of down payment of the loan. Because I guess what it does is that it helps you, because you match, you're able to vet better, the bank is able to read the risk better because you send it to the right customer. Could you just give us sort of like a case study of where that happened, where you see that before it took this long, when Matchbook came in, it became this much shorter. And also, what would have been the original, I guess, interest rate or down payment? And it was decreased by Matchmo as a result of the use of the algorithm.
Okay, all right. So what happens is, how are you able to cut down the processing time? You have a typical buyer who needs to get a home loan approved. They go to a bank, to a random bank or bank who they probably have deposits with, and they give their applications and they hope they get their loan approved. The problem there is, a typical home buyer, or for in some cases, some real estate developers fail to understand that banks have so many criteria that they look at for each specific client that they want. What the system does is, the client basically has to go through the platform. They have to put in certain informations, and based on their information, we match them with the right bank. So this, I'll give you an example. We have a 50-year-old client who wants to get a 20-year loan term, and the client is an OFW. So what the system does is, okay, say we have a choice of three banks for now. So what the system does, okay, so the client would be 70 years old by the time the loan matures. So basically the system is saying, okay, bank A and bank B allows clients up to 70 years old to loan upon loan maturity. But bank C only allows clients up to 65 years old. So basically what the system is saying, okay, we won't recommend bank C to you anymore because it has a limit of up to 65 years old. So next, for the next profile, client is an OFW. So what the system is saying, for instance, the client is an OFW. So bank A tries to avoid OFW. So you have to understand that there are certain banks that try to avoid OFWs. It's really not to discriminate, but it's just that they had a very high impact. They were heavily impacted during the pandemic in terms of their OFW market. So they tried to avoid
the risk profile of the bank. I can't accommodate them at that point in time. Yep. Sort of like that.
Yep. So basically, again, so what the system is saying, okay, bank A does not recommend OFWs for now. So bank B, check. Bank C, check. So what the system is saying, okay, you need to check all the criteria based on your profile. And then that's the only time that the system will recommend a certain bank for you. So the fastest thing in terms of processing this is, we're able to find out immediately which bank we should be going directly to. So it's not very random. So it's like, okay, we have one specific client, a very young manager in his 30s. So he wanted to get a 2 million peso loan. His salary was 49,000 pesos per month. So he did all the paperwork, everything. So it took him 2 months just to get that loan processed. So he waited for another 2 months. So all in all, about 4 months to get that notice that he was rejected, for a very simple reason that he did not meet the minimum income requirement of the bank, which was 50,000. So can you imagine shorting by just 1,000 pesos, and you had to wait 4 months just to get that feedback? So through our system, we're able to find that out within in as fast as 3 minutes.
And then how about, I know that you told me a story that you were able to decrease, I think, even down payments or even the interest rates on some loans because you're able to match properly. Can you share with me a bit more about that? Because that's what I guess many of the buyers want to figure out, how Matchbook can really help them out.
Okay, so the key thing here is, home buyers are usually presented one or two banks. They're not presented a whole lot of banks. So I'll give you a very clear example of how we do things. So we match with a bank. you then see a list of banks that you are pre-qualified with. And then after that, you will see the up-to-date the interest rates, the prevailing interest rates. So a very clear example is we had one specific client who wanted to get who bought a property from somewhere in BGC. So client got a 15 million condo unit. So he was only processed with one specific bank because that was the preferred bank of the real estate broker. So the client
of the real estate broker.
So he got approved. The monthly was 110,000 pesos per month. And then the client was able to come across our website and then went through our system, and we were able to help him save 15,000 pesos per month in terms of monthly amortization. So that's about 12% in terms of monthly amortization. So for an average Filipino, if you don't know, it's really hard for you to be able to tell which banks offer the lowest rates because it changes sometimes on a monthly, on a quarterly basis. So it's hard for you to keep track which banks could be offering you the best rates. Through our platform, you'll be able to recognize which banks do so.
Okay. We've been talking about your platform a lot. I guess it's time to show people a bit more of what you've done. I mean, you've gone just beyond just getting the correct algorithm in place, and I'm sure that you've added to the original algorithm that you've developed to make it more responsive to the learnings that you've gotten so far. Clark, let's help him flash it here on the screen. So for those listening to us via the podcast, you might not see it, but just visit their website, which is www.matchmo.ph. Again, that's matchmo.ph. So tell us a bit more about how you developed the site. Bring us to the page.
All right. So once you go to the website, you simply have to click the type of property you wanted to loan. So for instance, we are looking for a house and lot. We have to understand what's the property status right now. We have to know how much is the property value that you're looking into. We have to understand when the last down payment would be. We have to understand the developer's name. So for instance, ABC Corp, let's put ABC Project first. So I'll put here loan purpose, loan value. So say for instance, I wanted to loan 4 million pesos. The loan term is 25 years. So employment type is, say I'll put in OFW here. So my employment status, I've been a regular with my company. Employment tenure, I've been with my company for about 5 years. So next is we have to understand the gross monthly income of the home buyer as well. So there's such a thing called debt burden ratio. So the debt burden ratio is something that the bank considers. So X percentage of your income should be allocated for monthly repayments of loans, because you have to understand, the banks understand that as home buyers, you do need to, you have other obligations such as food, education, transportation, those sort of things.
What's the usual percentage? It's about 30% that goes to housing from your salary, right? Or that's the usual rule of thumb, right? 30% goes to paying the home, loan.
So that's the rule of thumb. So the problem there is it's not really 30% for all banks. So it really differs from bank to bank. So there's a whole slew of data that you really have to answer here. Basically, you fill this up. And then,
if you don't mind, because people listening to us won't be able to know what you're supposed to fill up. What are the other things that should fill up? Yeah.
All right. So after that, you need to check on your date of birth, your nationality. So we have to check if you have your own credit card. Do you have any canceled credit card? Because this forms part of some sort of credit scoring that we did internally. And then after that, it's something that we have to ask the home buyers if they have any other loans. If they do have any other loans, this forms part of your debt-to-income ratio. So again, the 30%, it could go much less if you are paying for certain other loans such as car amortization, car loans, or personal loans. All right, so in the system, we have to understand if you are single or if you're married. If you are married, we ask for the spouse's income or any other loans that they have been paying for or they are still paying for. And if you do have a co-borrower, again, that forms part of the credit score as well. So a co-borrower could be someone, a close relative such as a brother, sister, or parents. So, and then after that, you go on, put in your personal details. So just put mine in. So then after that, you click submit.
So what's important here is that actually, it's sort of like what you did was, I went to a developer, I liked his house, then I asked him, can you please give me your payment terms, right? It's sort of what you do, right? And then you go to Matchmo, then you input those payment terms in Matchmo.
In a way, yes, correct. So you put in the loan value that you wanted to loan, and then you'll be able to find out if you are qualified for a loan based on your profile. So it looks very simple, but the work behind it, it really took us a long while for us to be able to formulate a very accurate algorithm. So basically what the system here is saying, now we have 15 partner banks. So based on the profile that we did, now you only have nine banks that matches you, that matches your profile. So if you recall, so for instance, we asked for a 25-year loan term. We're an OFW with an income of 150,000 pesos per month. So now what the system is saying, okay, I'm an OFW with Security Bank. I'm able to get a 26,000 pesos per month on monthly amortization. But if I wanted to get a loan with BDO, I would have to be paying, 35,000 pesos per month. It's because the loan tenor or the maximum loan tenor is now reduced from 25 years. I have to finish my loan payment within 15 years based on this profile. So there are certain parts of the system here where basically it determines the maximum loan tenor and the interest rates best suited for you. So that's how the system works, basically.
Great. I got Kurt Vaughn commenting here on the chat box saying, great platform, especially for first-time home buyers. Can you bring that out, Clark? Thanks so much, Kurt, for the comment. I agree, no? And sige, can we continue right now? Kevin, what's next on the platform that you can show us?
So after that, you simply click Apply Now. So the great thing about this is home buyers can actually apply to all banks all at the same time if they please. So it's not so difficult anymore. Like, you'd have to go to different banks, you'd have to fill up multiple application forms, which could be very tiring, time consuming for an average person who, after a long days of work, would have to fill up 2-3 pages long of bank application forms. So they simply have to go here, they can click all the 9 matches for them, click Apply Now. And then after that, we have our online home loan application form. They fill up their application form, and then after that, they simply have to submit their documents online. And then once they've submitted the documents online, they simply have to click save, and someone from our team should be able to call them immediately within 24 hours to assist them with their loan.
So, is the application also a digital application already going out to all the different banks, or your team will help facilitate the home loan application with these different banks?
We help facilitate. So it's not immediate that the system forwards it to the bank. So we still have to go through some sort of screening after the client has filled up the application form.
Okay. So in other words, this is the part that it's not the intervention here. The algorithm is just the bank matching, and then moving on from there, the application, it's partly manual, but this is because the probability for success in a specific bank is higher now because you already matched them.
Yep, exactly. So it's sort of a win-win situation across the stakeholders, especially with the banks. Banks are happier actually dealing with us right now because they know that we filter the clients that we give them, as opposed to random brokers who randomly give clients to them who they have no idea if they are qualified for this bank or not.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. So you're also solving a pain point for the bank. So it makes it easier because you've sort of pre-qualified. That's what they need. It's a pain point for them. The processing is a pain point for them, for each of the clients.
Yep. Exactly.
But when you get here, my question right now is, okay, when the app starts to grow and you start to scale up, there are two things, no? Because you're saying that you get an incentive from the bank. How big do the incentives have to be for it to make finance? I mean, as you grow the business, and the, you know, I'm looking right now, the business model is just one way, right? It's these incentives from the bank. When it scales up a bit more, are you going to create more, I guess, income streams or business models for Matchmo to grow, aside from just those incentives, or are those incentives enough? And secondly, the other question I have is that as you scale, no, this might be a bottleneck, the idea that you probably get thousands of applications, but the point is, again, it becomes manual again at the end point. No? How do you plan to work that out in the future, those two things?
So actually, the objective for us as part of our pre-seed stage is, one of our objectives is to be able to automate most of the work already after having done some manual processing for the past couple of months. So the next steps is really improving the process, making it more efficient for us to be able to cater more and more to more and more Filipinos.
Okay. And then how about in terms of, I guess, the different income streams that you expect to come in, or the business model for you guys? I know right now you said the incentive is the business model coming from the banks. Will that be the primary business model? And is that enough to sustain the growth of the company? Or are you looking also at expanding into different areas where Matchmo can create more income?
So for now, we wanted to focus more on our incentives from the banks. But in the near future, it's something that we are looking into as well, is providing financing as well for fellow Filipinos. I mean, there's a huge market for loans, more specifically housing loans. So we wanted to cater to more and more Filipinos. It's just something I find it a bit disappointing in terms of the banks, of how they profile home buyers. I mean, there's a huge market of home buyers who are not qualified to get bank loans simply because of their risk profile or how the banks somewhat profile them. So this would be the gig economy. So VAs. So I'm still trying to find a way for us to be able to help this segment, this market, to provide their homes for them.
Okay, what I'm seeing right now is you're seeing another pain point as well, that you want to be able to loan to these people, but they can't because it's a gig economy. So it's, I guess, matching now, I guess, other types of financial institutions outside of banks who might be able to loan to these people as well. And I guess providing an algorithm for those non-financial institutions to, or financial institutions, but not necessarily banks, to be able to loan to the people in the gig economy, or that, you know, that they, that might be perceived as a larger risk by traditional banking system. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Got it. We've got Julius Francisco commenting here right now on the chat box. Agree 100%, taking home loans to the next level, better and faster. Thanks so much, Julius, for that comment. Now, Kevin, I want to go back again to one more thing. As you continue to grow the business as well, and you know what, as an entrepreneur and coming from real estate and finance and putting this together, that's what I find brilliant. But sometimes you know, disparate industries or related industries, you're still able to identify pain points which you can grow. And in this ecosystem where you're trying to make mortgage home lending much easier, right? What have you seen as the other opportunities where entrepreneurs can play in that ecosystem? Where do you think, if you weren't doing what you're doing here right now, you know, what do you see as emerging opportunities within that finance and real estate ecosystem that can still be leveraged, especially by smaller entrepreneurs or people who have the hustle and the entrepreneurial drive to do something?
Yep. Well, honestly, what I noticed here is how long it takes to get a formal or a centralized credit scoring system within the country. So it takes so long in the US, you can get your credit score as fast as that. So I'm hoping that someone, or hopefully maybe us, we'd be able to create that sort of system in terms of credit scoring, which makes it easier for real estate developers, real estate buyers, to be able to identify really if they're eligible to, okay, buy this property, be able to afford this property. I think it has something to do with some sort of centralized credit scoring system.
Got that. And what do you see in terms of the opportunity when it comes to the real estate sector as well?
I mean, the real estate sector has been growing, and it still has to grow. I mean, as it is, there's a huge backlog in terms of housing. There's about 6.5 million worth of backlog in housing right now. And it just keeps on going because there is more demand than there is supply being provided by all the developers on an annual basis. So hopefully it speeds up and there's nothing else but for us to grow from here.
Fantastic. Got that. And now I think this comes to the more interesting portion. I want to pick your brains a bit more about, you know, what you've learned over the past couple of years. You know, so you moved from the banking industry, you moved to the real estate industry, which is family business. You jumped into doing your own business. You were able to at least transition into putting up a startup with the support, I guess, of the family. You know, what would you like to share in terms of, I guess, three of your most potent life and business lessons that you've gained, and that you think, you know, if you share with some entrepreneurs here right now, they'll be able to hack their process towards, you know, business success, or at least business continuity.
I guess number one, it's really all about grit. I mean, learning how to hustle. I mean, doing the same thing over and over again. You just keep on pushing and pushing. I think that's all entrepreneurs need to have, grit. And then there's this other thing that I've always put in my head as a kid. May sound cheesy for a bit, but I always thought this is how I thought for myself. So it's a very cheesy line, but I always wanted to. So people say always aim for the skies or something like that. So I would tell myself as a kid, so always aim for the stars. Aim for the stars, you fall in the sky. Because if you aim for the sky, you fall on the ground. So that's how I always approached everything. So always aim high. And then after that, it's really having a great support system. In terms of investors, you need to have people who believe in you behind your back. So it's not just about the money. It's really about having the right people behind you to support you for your growth.
Got that. So again, thanks so much for joining us here on the show. I think it was chock full of great information, especially for up-and-coming entrepreneurs and people who want to get up in the startup industry. My biggest takeaway is that it's pretty brilliant that you were able to put together two industries and still identify a sector which, you know what, despite the length of time, nobody else has really picked up on. But I'm sure there's competition nipping at your heels by this time, because, you know, great ideas, people want to copy. So again, you're developing your own, what they call secret sauce, which is the algorithm. And of course, your network was really one of your strongest competitive advantages at the same time. So again, good luck. For all those who want to try out matchmo.com, you can visit their website. That's www.matchmo.ph. Again, Kevin Carrion, thanks so much for guesting here on the show. To everybody who joined us, please join me next Thursday for the next RJ Ledesma podcast. Again, Kevin, thanks for guesting here on the show.
Thank you so much, RJ.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, everyone.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.